Looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. Last time on the Stingray Show.
Here's the truth about A&M. Have you ever heard of BAS? It's called Battered Aggie Syndrome. And there's a large faction of A&M fans that are infected with it. Maybe almost all of them. And so they just expect bad things to happen.
Battered Aggie Syndrome no more. As of week number 3 in college football, the Texas A&M Aggies finally got the monkey off of their back, going into Notre Dame and knocking off the first ranked team for them on the road since 2014. They had been 0-13 since then. We are going to be doing a full recap of week number 3, including A&M versus Notre Dame, on this edition of the Stingray Show. But I will start off the Stingray Show by saying gig'em and congratulations to the Aggies of A&M.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look. No.
Heath, Stingray, Here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah. But then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show. We made it through another Monday, and the SEC season continues to roll right along. Week number 3 was quite impressive, with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish going down to the Texas A&M Aggies there at home. Congratulations to Mike Elko and the Aggies, but I will caution SEC fans, and I will caution the Texas A&M Aggie fans, because we saw this from them last year. They knocked off a really high-ranked LSU team later in the season, back in October of last year, and then they jumped up to number 3 in the country, went on the road to South Carolina. It was a hostile environment, and they got shellacked. Everybody can, you know, excuse that one, because it was a road game at night. Williams-Brice, you're coming off of a very, very, very big win over LSU, and then what do you do to follow it up? You go on the road and you lose to Auburn, and then you don't win another game for the remainder of the season. My question is, how does A&M handle the success this time around, and especially because they have 2 weeks now before they play again, because this weekend they are on their bye week getting ready for the Auburn Tigers. So my question is, how does Texas A&M handle success moving forward after this huge win over Notre Dame, with everybody patting them on the back, telling them, hey, you're great, you're awesome. Watch out, because Hugh Freeze and Auburn invades College Station in 2 weeks. Now, let's go on ahead and talk about another big-time game this weekend. That was Florida and LSU. And I have a little bit of an issue with Brian Kelly. If you did not hear his post-game interview and press conference, he absolutely went into and lit up a reporter about the offensive woes at LSU. I'm going to play for you right now what Brian Kelly had to say, and then I'm going to dissect it and give you my opinion, as I would be, because of course I am a sports media reporter, just like that guy is. So this is what Brian Kelly had to say to an LSU reporter after the game on Saturday evening.
What are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's some ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
Coach Kelly, if you will allow me a brief rebuttal to that, I think your offense is out of line. I think you are really out of line, because you know that your offense has a major issue and you do not want to own it. LSU had 5 turnovers against Florida. You scored 10 points off of 5 turnovers. 2 of those were in the first half. You had an interception returned for a touchdown, and you had a field goal off the other one to take a 13-10 lead into halftime. After the half, you had 3 other interceptions. All 3 of them came into Florida territory. Punt, punt, punt. Your offense is not working. You cannot run the football. The majority of your rushing yards was on the final play of the game. That was 58 yards. Outside of that, you only rushed the ball for 40 yards. I think you need to look in the mirror. I think you need to own it and realize that your offense sucks right now, and you are very lucky that you beat Clemson and you beat Florida with that offense. So you need to recognize and shut the hell up, Brian Kelly. And that's all I got to say about that. So guys, I have calmed down and I have gotten off my soapbox. I apologize about that, but I do not like any coach, especially a caliber coach of Brian Kelly, going off like that against a reporter that was on call for. So we are up against our first break of the evening. And when I come back, I'm going to be joined by Southeastern 16's owner, Chris Lee, to do a recap of week number 3 and talk about all of the matchups. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and I will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And the right turn lane is blocked due to an accident north on Lurleen Wallace just before 17th Street. And on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's an 8-minute drive. Also, east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 13-minute drive. Watch for roadwork, Skyland Boulevard, between I-359 and Buttermilk Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bach.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. I am about to get to my guest of the evening, who is the owner of Southeastern 16, who joins us quite often. He is a regular here on the Stingray Show, Mr. Chris Lee from just south of Nashville, Tennessee. Chris, how are things with you on this Monday evening?
Mr. Chris Lee, I've gotten promotion around here, I see. So, yeah, all kidding aside, no, it's always enjoy being with you, and thank you for having me.
All right. So, I know that there was a lot to talk about this past weekend and looking ahead to week number 4. However, the biggest shocker for me, and let's go ahead and start there, the Vanderbilt Commodores absolutely shellacking number 11, South Carolina. I did not see that one coming. Did you?
You know, I thought they had a shot. I didn't pick it. I picked South Carolina by a point, but I kind of have this rule. Like, when you've won 16 in a row in a series, as yeah. South Carolina had, and you're at home, and you were supposed to be a pretty good ball team, I kind of defer to that. But I even thought, like, if this game gets out of hand, I think Vanderbilt's the team I can see that's more equipped to run away with the game, and it did. I mean, Stephen, I just watched them both play. Yeah. I looked at the stat sheets. Vanderbilt was clearly the better team coming in. Now, look, you know, you're going from week two to week three. Sometimes you see crazy stuff happen in college football. Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois about this point last year. So you take that into account. But, like, the way the teams have been playing, Vanderbilt was the better team. And I know that Lenore Sellers got hurt, but Vanderbilt went into Columbia and backed it up.
Now, when you look at the future schedule for Vanderbilt, look out. They've got Georgia State this weekend. And then they've got Utah State coming in, two group of five teams. They very well could be 5-0 now coming into Tuscaloosa, meaning they've only got to get one more victory down the stretch to become bowl eligible. Talk about what that would do for them being 5-0 coming into Tuscaloosa.
Well, hey, look, they're 5-0 at that point. That is a game with stakes for both teams. Yep. Like, that's a win. Like, if you're Alabama and you get that, you're going to be saying at the end of the year, hey, that was a win the committee should sit up and take note of. So, like, whoever wins that game, and I know that it sounds crazy, and look, it may not hold up, but right now it is what it is.
Yeah.
They're 20th in the AP poll. They're very likely to be, you know, 5-0. They've outscored their three opponents, you know, by an average of 40-10 every week. They're really pretty good at everything. So I think that matchup, like, you know, it's not often that Alabama could say, hey, if we beat Vanderbilt that on our home field, that's an accomplishment. But I think that's where we're going to be if that's what goes down.
And, Chris, the last thing that I will say about this Vanderbilt win over South Carolina, this was the first time it had happened since Bobby Johnson was the coach there at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I mean, they play that every year. Carolina just had their number. Even when Bobby Johnson was there, he won a couple of years. I think that was the fifth time Vanderbilt had won a game. I think they played every year since Carolina's joined the league. So, yeah, I mean, it had been total domination in that series. And I think, you know, again, to go in there and snap that streak and do it in that building at night was an accomplishment.
All right, Chris, let's talk about another shocker from a positive standpoint, and that was Mike Elko and Texas A&M finally getting the monkey off of their back. 0-13, the last 13 games on the road versus ranked opponents. They walked into Notre Dame, were down by 10 twice in the second quarter, fought back, and ultimately won the game, going away with 13 seconds left. Give us your thoughts on A&M.
I was not shocked that A&M won. I picked it, but I thought it was a coin flip game. I just think that A&M is able to do so much more in the passing game this year. It feels like Marcel Reed had gotten better. Now, we don't know that the first two opponents were teams that they should have handled. Yeah. Not as bad as some other SEC teams had played, but not teams that are SEC caliber. And so you didn't know going into that building on the road against a team that really was desperate, because if you looked at Notre Dame before the game, you're like, okay, if they go to 0-2, I don't know if there's enough quality wins on the schedule for them to get in the playoffs. So a lot riding on that one for Notre Dame. But A&M's bread and butter last year was running the football.
Yes.
And A&M just hasn't done it that well this year. And we didn't know if A&M could really throw it. Well, now Mario Craver's become, he and Casey Concepcion right now, might be the most productive receiving duo in the league. I do think the running is going to come for A&M later. It wasn't great for them on the ground at Notre Dame, and their defense needs some work. But I just love the way offensively they are so multidimensional. Yeah. And a big, big win for them, one that could have some playoff implications down the road.
Chris, I don't want to say this right now and put the cart before the horse, But that win at Notre Dame does kind of have to put them in the conversation of a legitimate contender to make the SEC championship.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think that's going to be a jumbled mess. I mean, we may not see a team, you know, lose zero or one games in the league this year. It's going to be so competitive top to bottom. But, yeah, I mean, that's one that, you know, you circle, you get that in their house, not an easy place to play. And I think if you can beat Notre Dame on the road in that spot, then I think you have to feel that a lot of games in the league are winnable.
All right. Let's go to the opposite side and talk about one of the major disappointments this past weekend, and that, of course, was DJ Lagway and Florida, and with him throwing five interceptions on the road, it really looked like in the second half he just gave up, and that is not a good look for Billy Napier, who really needed that win, or for them to come out and play a really good game on the road. They did not.
I can't figure out why that's gone so poorly. I still think that's a talented team capable of beating anybody left on the schedule. But for Lagway to go that poorly, I think the one thing that you looked at with his record last year was that he was like super explosive with the ball. You know, I think he averaged just over 10 yards a throw against a tough schedule, but the turnovers were an issue. He not only is not taking that progression, he's taken a step back.
Yeah.
They've not been that good on the line of scrimmage, which is really unbelievable because they've got maybe a couple of first rounders on each side of the ball there. You know, I know one of them on defense has been hurt in Banks, but, you know, this was a roster that was old. It was a roster with a lot of returnees. It was a roster that figured to build on the momentum and the cohesion and turn it into something. And they're not playing well, you know, in any area of the game. They're talented. It could flip. And you got to keep in mind it flipped for them last year. Yeah. So it could happen again. And I think this is a better roster than last year's. But I just don't understand how that team has just been so self-sabotaging with the penalties and the turnovers and all those things.
Chris, we're sitting here talking about Florida losing to LSU. One play could have flipped that entire game. That was the deep pass wide open to Ball for a touchdown. That would have put Florida up by 10 at that point. It was called back due to a holding. And what happens? Florida goes 3 and out. That was a crucial moment in that football game.
Yeah. Hey, look, as bad as it's been for them, they are, you know, two plays away from having two pretty good wins. That one in South Florida, which I think is a pretty good team.
I tell you, man, it's just, and now you've got Miami coming up. That is a rivalry game.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and also, you know, you're going to hear this theme a lot. Another playoff contender on Florida's schedule.
So we are up against another break. And when we come back, Chris Lee and I are going to talk about some of the other lows of the weekend. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Celebrate. Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Blue Monday, I'm a high blue Monday. Got to work, flag or sleeve on me. Here come Tuesday, oh Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Chris Lee of Southeastern 16 and of Vandy 247. And Chris, let's continue with the disappointment of the weekend. And of course, they got the win. But in your opinion, what is going wrong with Arch Manning out at Texas?
Steven, I think he's got to be hurt. I mean, you've got a head coach that bristles at the suggestion in a way that just was, it felt like it really hit a nerve. Like, usually, a lot of times when people get angry with you, it's not because you say something that's untrue. It's because it's the opposite. You've hit on the truth that maybe somebody doesn't want to talk about. Look, I cannot figure out for the life of me. Look, it's not like Arch Manning hasn't played a lot of football, right? And it's not like the football he played last year wasn't good. So either it's some kind of a mental meltdown, which I just think is unlikely, given his family, his pedigree, all the ball he's played, and again, the fact that he did a year ago, or he's got to be hurt, which a lot of people have speculated. I think that has to be the answer. Right. It feels to me like they're not doing him a service by keeping him in there. I don't know what their backup situation is, but it's Texas. You've got to have someone who can throw the ball better.
Yeah.
So it feels to me like, I just think, would you keep a guy in there and let him play through something that's obviously not working? You're doing your team a disservice and you're doing the player a disservice, especially when so much is on the line for draft stakes for him one day. I don't get it. Maybe you think it's not a serious thing. Maybe you think it'll go away and he needs the reps. But it just feels to me like he shouldn't be on the field. I don't think it is serving anybody's best interest if he is truly hurt.
Any other football team in the SEC, and I would even argue Kentucky, could have a better stat line than 11 of 25 for 114 against UTEP. I mean, yeah, I could understand if they were playing Ohio State again, but this is UTEP, a program that has been the doormat of their conference and of Texas for a very long time. And in that game, Arch Manning had 10 straight incompletions in the second quarter. Let me read that to you again. 25 attempts, 11 completions for 114 yards against University of Texas, El Paso.
Yeah. Hey, look, the only thing I've got in the zip code of a defense is that UTEP has been one of the best teams in terms of getting sacks the last 2 years. It had 10 coming in. So it can get to the passer and make life miserable. But hey, what are we talking about? Texas was a 40-point favorite,
yes,
or so in this game. I mean, if we're at that point where we're parsing, well, you know, we're we're giving Arch Manning an excuse because UTEP can get after the passer. What are we talking about?
And look, they won, what, by 17? Because it was 27-10. That is cause for concern itself.
Yeah, well, look, their defense is terrific, okay? I mean, their defense is really good. They've got NFL players all over the field. They've got major award candidates. Their defense kept them in that Ohio State game until, you know, the very last couple of minutes. And it's, you know, 2 weeks ago, the best they've looked all year was that little, you know, 5 or 10 minute spurt against San Jose State.
Yeah.
Where the defense forced 3 turnovers. They turned them into quick touchdowns offensively. Other than that, they just haven't looked good. But, you know, the defense is talented. If the offense figures out a little bit, oh, by the way, they're having issues running the ball again.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a place we said off season, hey, look, they replace a lot of offensive linemen. That's not helping either. So, to me, I have really downgraded my opinion on Texas. Even as of last week, I was like, okay, you lose to Ohio State in the horseshoe, that can happen.
Yeah.
You lose to, you know, you kind of are flat against San Jose State. You pull it out, that can happen, you know, after a disappointing game. But another one like this where the offense just no-shows for a lot of the game.
Yeah.
At that point, you're like, the voice in your head is saying, hey, look, I'm making too many excuses. Something is not right here.
All right. There is another team that has major offensive issues, even though they got the win on Saturday night. LSU. Their offense cannot get out of the mud. They can't run the ball. They've got great wide receivers. They're just not being able to gel. Now, the defense is national championship caliber. What do you think is going wrong with the offense down at LSU? Because I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, for full disclosure, there were so many games on the other night. I didn't get to really watch much of that one. I'd like to know some of that myself. But you look at the box scores. I mean, when they average 4.9 yards a play against Louisiana Tech and 5.1 against Clemson, the Clemson one at the time made sense because of the spot. But then Louisiana Tech even kind of made sense too. But, you know, kind of another mediocre outing. What they had, 10 first downs?
Yes.
And again, I think Florida's talented, but again, this is one where the excuses are kind of piling up.
Yeah.
As with Texas, you know, lost some major offensive line pieces, in this case, 2 first-round tackles. That's not helping. Joe Sloan's gotten criticism that he's not a good play caller. Again, I'd like to watch a little bit more, but it makes no sense to me. You've got a potential first-round quarterback. You've got a receiver room that I think, if you consider the depth, is arguably the most talented one in the league. You've got Caden Durham, who's good. It's a situation to me where the parts, the sum of it is less than the individual parts, if that makes sense. And usually when you've got that situation, like, that's the job of coaching. It's to take players and make them as good as they should be, or make the whole better, make the parts work together where the team is better than you would expect. So it feels to me like the answer is somewhere in coaching and all that, because I look at the talent and I go, how is this possible?
And Chris, did you happen to hear Brian Kelly go off on that reporter after the game?
I heard about it. I've not heard it yet.
I got it for you. You mean to play it for you?
Sure.
All right. And then I want to get your take on it, because he is just blasting this guy.
What are you seeing with your offense?
Stop. Really? Is that the first question? We won the game 20-10. Try another question. What do you want me to tell you? I just laid it out for you. We played the game to win the game. We played the game to win the game.
All right. How about third down then? What is going on with third down?
One game. Last game, we were great on third down. You're looking at this from the wrong perspective. LSU won the football game. Won the game. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
No, I think people want to know why you can't run the ball, quite honestly.
We can run the ball. Did you see the last play of the game? That's all you need. You just need one. There's a ridiculous questions. And I'm getting tired of it. That football team just worked their tail off to get an SEC win, and you want to know what's wrong. You know what? You're spoiled. You're spoiled. This team is 17-1 at night. 17-1. Give them some respect. How about that? Give them some respect instead of micro-analyzing every little thing. This is ridiculous. For a group of seasoned reporters, that kind of question is so out of line.
I think Brian Kelly's a little bit out of line. What do you say, Chris?
You know, I think the follow-up question maybe should have been, are you under the impression that LSU writes my paycheck? Because that's a guy's job. You know, if you want your side out, people are going to talk about that on the radio Monday,
yeah,
on TV, everywhere. Do you not want to give your side? Say, hey, you know, I think we can run the ball better than we can, or whatever. You know, we're struggling with this. Just be honest. That diffuses the whole thing. To stick your head in the sand and act like it's not happening.
Yeah.
And like, I'm guessing like the whole press conference wasn't, why is your offense so bad? Like, I'm sure that I would think the questions were asked about the defense too. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. That's lightweight stuff. You get paid a lot of money as an SEC head coach.
Yeah.
Answer the dang question and don't deflect. That's absurd.
All right. So, Chris, we're up against another break. And when we come back, you and I are going to talk about one other game from this past weekend. And then we are going to look ahead to week number 4 of college football. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
It really was. It really, really was. I mean, that's just so absurd and unprofessional.
Yeah.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Hey, coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough. We'll get an update on the Alabama Crimson Tide, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 14-minute drive. You're traveling south on Highway 69 from Mitlary Road to McFarland, a 7-minute drive. Road work continues on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. Also, watch for ongoing construction, Old Birmingham Highway between 55th and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
If you want to paint, download the Tide 100.9 app today.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening is Chris Lee of Southeastern 16. And Chris, before the break, we were talking about LSU and Brian Kelly. Now let's go to another game that was a barn burner, but a heartbreaking loss up on Rocky Top for Tennessee. Tennessee has major issues on the defensive side of the football, and Georgia, talk about a gritty football team. Give us your recap of Tennessee and Georgia.
Well, yes, Tennessee does have some major issues on defense, but those major issues include several starters out. I'm not sure what the exact number is. It keeps going up. It'll probably be at 24. The next time I hear it, but it was a joke. I mean, I'd heard two or three, and now I've heard claims of six. I don't know what the number is. Now I do know probably their best defensive player is Jermaid McCoy, who's probably not going to play till Halloweenish. So, but you've already baked that in. You had your other starting corner and Gibson out. You're really young there. Georgia went after it and took advantage of it. So look, I think that was a great ball game. I think maybe what gets lost in the shuffle of that, and also the missed field goal at the last, is that Josh Heupel. Okay, let's unpack this for a minute, okay?
Okay.
This is a guy who got his quarterback, what, this summer? Joey Aguilar, the Nico thing, didn't go through spring practice. Not a guy that everybody and their brother was after in the portal. A lot of questions about Joey Aguilar. Here you are without spring practice, and you're taking this guy and you're going toe-to-toe with Georgia, and if you kick a field goal, the discussion is very different. You had a receiving room. We had a bunch of guys out in fall camp. The question was, are they good enough there? That they lost the SEC player of the year at running back. They lost offensive linemen. And here you are, a coach that has retooled them. And if a guy can make a kick that he probably hits more often than not, the conversation about Tennessee is, this week, maybe it might even be, are they number one in the poll? I don't know what it would be, but it's much different. But I thought that, and by the way, speaking of the quarterback situation, look what happened to Nico when he goes to UCLA. They got beat 35-10 by New Mexico this week. So I think one thing that's kind of going under the radar in all the talk of that game is Josh Heupel's done a really good job.
Yes.
And has really brought, now I'm still not convinced they're as good as they've looked at times. They're playing at home. Let's see what happens when they go on the road and play in a loud stadium somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that guy's doing a heck of a job. And we can talk Georgia, too, if you like. But
okay.
Tennessee's got nothing to hang its head about.
The one thing I would say that needs to be really criticized this week is up in Tennessee, you cannot, at the end of the game, have that false start before the final kick. That is the only knock I will give Tennessee. If he does not back up 5 yards, I think they win that football game.
I wasn't crazy about taking another snap there. I'm in the minority. There were 7 seconds left. I just think there's stuff that could go wrong. You could have a bad snap. You could fumble or something, like you get caught up in a scrum, like the clock could run out. Like maybe if there's 15 seconds, I'm a little bit bigger on the idea of doing that. But you just open up the door. Now, I guess if the play call is just snap the ball and have the quarterback run to the center of the field and take a knee before anybody can touch him.
Yeah.
Okay, I can kind of get that. But and bottom line is Tennessee should have executed, right? That shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But you know, I wasn't in favor of it because I just thought there was more that could go wrong. I mean, you should hit a 37-yard field goal. Even if it's from the left hash, you're a right-footed kicker. You know, I've never kicked, but I did play. I would think it'd be easier to kick from that hash than the other one as a right-footed kicker. I don't know. If I'm Josh Heupel, I would have liked to do over there, but it is what it is. You know, you make a play or you don't. And Georgia made the plays at the end and Tennessee did not.
Okay, let's talk about it from Georgia. Georgia is a long way away from that elite defense that it used to have. Now the defense is starting to look just about like everybody else, where all the teams are piling up yards and piling up points, even on Kirby and Georgia.
I'm not quite there yet. Look, everybody's come back to the pack in the era of the portal and NIL. Nobody can run off and hide from the rest of college football the way Georgia and Alabama used to do.
Correct.
But let's also look at context. You're playing in a building that's just like beyond deafening. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still a pretty young team. You know, some of the mistakes were just, you know, a corner thinks he's got safety help when he doesn't. You know, Chris Brazel makes a play where he could have gotten called for a push off. DB has position. Sometimes stuff just happens in Knoxville when you're playing Josh Heupel's offense. You're not going to play another team all year other than maybe Ole Miss that will challenge you like that in terms of tempo and things. So I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater with Georgia's defense yet. But yeah, it's certainly not the days of Jordan Davis and those guys either.
All right. And Chris, finally, the final thing about week number 3, Alabama got a big win against Wisconsin, but I'm still seeing a few things that concern me about this Alabama football team, and one of them is they cannot run the football. Yeah. I mean, it is not good. They averaged 3.3 yards per rush in that football game and only had a total of 72 rushing yards. That is going to come back to bite them again later on down the road if that offensive line cannot starting to get a push.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest concern when I watch them is just that. Now, they don't have Jam Miller. When he comes back, it will help. How much? I don't know. They just haven't been as, you know, they haven't been the running team that they used to be. Yeah. But, I mean, again, nobody's what they used to be. This is not, you know, Mark Ingram and Derrick Henry walking through the door again. But but I'll tell you what, that's my only huge concern with him right now. I know beating ULM 73-0 doesn't, like, you don't make a lot of takeaways
right,
in terms of, okay, oh, our talent is national championship caliber for that. But I did wonder, like, how much fight is left in those guys after that. That was an answer the bell game last week in that regard. And I think Tyler Simpson has been terrific, you know, getting Ryan Williams back. Jeremy Bernard had a good game. Like, they found some other guys here and there, too. I mean, Ty Simpson has been money with the ball the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, he's got some confidence. So, and their defense, I thought at times, kind of played angry, which I kind of wanted to see, too. You know, Bray Hubbard has a couple of picks. It feels like, to me, like maybe, I'm not going to say we didn't overreact to the Florida State game. Because you're Alabama, you should not look that bad and get dominated like that by a team, you know, I think Florida State's going to be pretty good, but it was unacceptable. But I do really like the way Alabama's answered the bell.
Yeah.
And frankly, I watched a lot of that game. I thought it was more lopsided than the score indicated.
Chris, look, man, thank you for taking time to join me. Go and enjoy covering all of the stuff to get ready this week for week number 4, and go enjoy covering Vanderbilt getting to 4-0 on this season. Who would have thought? And we will catch up with you next week.
It is a fascinating year in college football. I think that's going to continue, and you just don't know what the week is going to bring, and I can't wait to see next Saturday.
Chris, I will leave you with this. Since you cover the Vandy boys, anchor down. Let's get to 4-0 for Vanderbilt.
Hey, I've covered a lot of seasons on that beat. It's nice to have one that's interesting for a change.
Chris, thank you, man.
You bet.
So that is going to put a wrap on the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show. Now, stay tuned to Inside the Trenches with my good friend, Gary Harris. The Stingray Show will continue tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. with a preview of South Carolina and Missouri. Gary, take it away with Inside the Trenches. Hey, you. Looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. That's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store.